Good morning. We are continuing with our discussion of the Isser of Maris Zayin, doing an activity, doing an action that gives off the appearance that you're doing something wrong, but fundamentally you're not doing something wrong. So we said yesterday that there are two rationales to be lenient, and the first was brought by the Brichadosh, who said that something that's not included by the Talmud, it's not included by Chazal, included in the Talmud, it's not for us to institute new prohibitions of Maris Zayin. So if Chazal were worried about something, we need to be worried about something. If Chazal said something is Maris Zayin, we need to be worried about something being Maris Zayin. But it's not for us to say that there are new things that fall under the rubric, under the umbrella of Maris Zayin. That is the first rationale, to be lenient. But most poskim disagree with that pri chadash, even if it wasn't in the Gemara. There are many Rishonim and Achronim who write on various activities, various acts, and say that it could or could not be Maris Zayin, even though it's not decreed by Chazal in the Gemara that it's a problem of Maris Zayin. The second rationale to be lenient that we discussed yesterday is based on a Ramah that it's only a concern if people think that the actor, the person doing the activity, is violating an Isser D'oraisa. He's not, but that's the perception that he's given. Giving, then that's a problem of Maris Zayin. However, if the perception by him is that he would be violating Isser D'Rabbanan, then there's no problem of Maris Zayin and on Isser D'Rabbanan. But we said most poskim again disagree, and they are of the view that if somebody is doing an act and it's giving off the impression that the person is violating a prohibition, be it D'Oraisa, be it D'Rabbanan, there is going to be a problem of Maris Zayin. That is, those are the two rationales, that, and most poskim disagree with those rationales. So that brings us to the third rationale, and we're going to start with the Mishnah in Kilayim that says as follows: fundamentally, the Isser D'Oraisa of shatness, having a piece of clothing, something that we wear, the D'Oraisa is if you have wool and linen, tzemer u'pishtim, together in that garment. However, other fabrics, other materials are not problematic. For example, silk is not going to be a problem. Nonetheless, the Mishnah in Kilayim says that although there's not an Isser D'Oraisa of silk together with wool or linen, but there is going to be a problem of Maris Zayin. And the Rosh explains as follows, that silk is similar, and people can't tell the difference. It's similar to either wool or linen. Really, it's more similar to linen. So if you include silk together with wool, it's going to give off the appearance that it's a shatness problem. So that's a Maris Zayin problem, even though fundamentally there's no issue with having silk together with wool or silk together with linen. But because it gives off the appearance of being an Isser, it looks like shatness. Chazal said it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. Nonetheless, the Rosh adds on as follows, writing, he's one of the great Rishonim, hundreds of years ago, Haval Ha'idna, nowadays, Bigdei Meshi Mitzuim Beinenu. Silk is now a common fabric. Garments of silk is a very common thing. V'hakol makirim b'hem. Everyone can recognize when something is made of silk. They can tell the difference between silk and wool and linen accordingly. There is no prohibition of having silk together in a wool garment. So we see here that the Rosh is saying that although there was a prohibition originally of Maris Zayin, but things can change. And when there's common awareness that something is not a prohibition, albeit it may have been prohibited earlier, there is not going to any longer be a problem of Maris Zayin, something that's common and known. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like that Rosh, and the language is important. V'ha'idna nowadays, says the Shulchan Aruch, writing around 500 years ago, Meshi Matsui Beinenu, silk is a common material. V'ha'kol ma'kirim, but everyone recognizes it. Everyone knows what silk is. The fichach ein bo mishum Maris Zayin. There's not going to be a problem of Maris Zayin. Umutar imatzemer v'imabishim. It's permitted to put silk together with wool. It's permitted to put silk together with linen. The whole problem is left with putting wool and linen together. But silk is an innocent and permitted material, says the Shulchan Aruch. So, based on that, we have a third rationale to be lenient, something that reaches the status of common knowledge. Now, strictly speaking, it means people can see it. They can see the wool and they can distinguish, but the poskim extrapolate from that. When something is common knowledge, there's not going to be a problem of Maris Zayin. So just to build on that concept, the Yechav Adas Rav Avadya Yosef was asked the following question: is it permitted to drink chalav sintheti, synthetic milk like almond milk, soy milk, rice milk that is made of vegetables? It's not dairy. It's not real milk. Immediately after having a meat meal, you have a meat meal, filet mignon, you have a duck a la orange, and somebody brings milk to the table, coffee with milk. Is there a problem of Maris Zayin that people are going to think that this is cow milk, that it's dairy milk, or is it permitted? Is not a problem of Maris Zayin. So one of the bases that he brings to be lenient is based on this Rosh and based on the Shulchan Aruch that we see that when something becomes common knowledge, there was a change. Originally, silk was problematic, and then it wasn't problematic when people could distinguish when they knew. So he says the same thing applies when it comes to this dairy, non-dairy milk. It's common, it's known. V'yadua hulakol, everyone knows about this concept. Ein le'esor bo mishum Maris Zayin. There is no problem of Maris Zayin. And he brings another couple of examples. He says that we have on Pesach, we use matzah meal, kemach matzah meal, and we use it to bake and to fry. And the poskim are not worried about Maris Zayin, that somebody's going to think that you're really using real flour, wheat flour. There's not a concern because it's common knowledge. A frum yid, a frum Jew, he has a muffin. On Pesach, you know that that muffin is made of matzah meal or potato starch, and it is not from real flour. And another example he brings is having parv ice cream after having a meat meal. So that's the same question as having the coffee that we started with. This tshuva the Yechav Adas, coffee or drinking the milk, the non-dairy milk, not a problem of Maris Zayin. Same thing applies when it comes to bringing out of glida, bringing out ice cream after a meal, after a meat meal. There's a Maris Zayin? No, there's not a Maris Zayin. It's common knowledge that if you have somebody from bringing out ice cream after a flesh meal, you know that it is non-dairy, that it is parv ice cream. So we see here our third heter, the most critical heter, the first most critical rationale to be lenient when it comes to Maris Zayin is when something becomes common knowledge that it's not a problem, then it is no longer a problem. We also see another fundamental of Maris Zayin, that the definition changes over time. It changes based on place, time and circumstances, that what was permitted or prohibited in the past, we've been talking about prohibited in the past, at one time, like the silk was a problem of Maris Zayin at the time of the Mishnah, and originally when we didn't have margarine, and then margarine came out and we didn't know it, we confusing, is it butter? And then non-dairy milks, people getting confused with milk, and Ben and Jerry's, that's parv after a flesh meal. But once something becomes common knowledge, then the prohibition of Maris Zayin would no longer be applicable because people aren't going to be looking at you thinking you're doing a prohibition because it's commonly known that indeed this activity is permitted. Have a wonderful day.